Gabbert play action, rolls, turns, throws, and this one is caught! Touchdown! Guy Whimper got it! He just barely got it, but he got it!
That was pretty good grab.
Welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show on the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. Join Jaguars head coach Mike Mularkey and the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, for the latest news and information on your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Straight from the head coach, straight from the head coach.
The Mike Mularkey Show is brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, American Express, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show here across the Jaguars Radio Network. We're here for the next hour to talk about the Jaguars game yesterday with you and get ready for the Detroit Lions next Sunday. When we are done, hurry and switch over your television to CBS 47 and join Jeff Loggeman for Jaguars All Access at 7 o'clock. Blaine Gabbert is the special guest. Time to bring in the head coach, Mike Mularkey. Coach, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm... I'd like to say I'm better, but I obviously still disappointed where we are and with the outcome of the game. I was pleased with a lot of things with our guys, especially the approach that they had. Really, not a lot of people gave us a chance there.
I don't think anybody did.
No, and you know what? Not anybody but our guys in our locker room and our staff. When we just felt very confident going in, and it showed in their play. It showed in their preparation during the week, and it showed in their play and. I was very pleased with everything except some of the plays we got to make.
A couple here and there. Again, what we're talking about is a few. And, you know, I think a lot of people looked at the you – know, it's tough to do A plus B, you know, plus C and to you know, say, well, okay, they threw six touchdown passes against the Houston Texans 3 weeks ago. And so, wow, how are you going to stop that? And how are you going to score points without Maurice and with your quarterback banged up? And yet that really was the story. And I left our broadcast last night saying, look, this is hope. When you see the quarterback rise to the occasion like this, you know, on a week in which his shoulder was the question mark, he came out, career attempts, career completions, career yards, and it can be better. And yet here's a guy who really rose to the occasion. Coach, I found a lot to see, a lot of hope in that, in what this can be.
Blaine definitely made progress. And I'll tell you where it started. It was during the week. A lot of people had questions whether he was going to play or not when he didn't finish the Oakland game. Excuse me. You know, he came out and really had some of the best practices. I mean, he threw the ball on Thursday as well as any day he's thrown since I've been here. And that was encouraging. Came out Friday, didn't take all the reps. We still worked Chad Henne in there just in case of the shoulder. But, you know, Blaine is tough. I thought he handled it well. He took some hits, which we all knew he was going to take. And, you know, he just took a step forward. Again, like you said earlier, there's still things and we believe he can be better at, and that's the good part.
Before we continue with him, because he's going to be a large portion of our show this evening, Jeff Loggeman said in the pregame show yesterday, he challenged the offensive line. He said, this is a week that the offensive line has to look at one another and say, our guy gutted it out all week. Now we've got to keep him off his back. And for the most part, the protection was really good yesterday.
Protection was good, and they were challenged. They were really, I'll tell you, they were challenged by the Packers. There were some things that were internally said that got out that I don't think our guys appreciated and took it personal. And, you know, about some of the looks that we were going to get, unable to handle them, and they do. And Dom Capers does a good job of switching things up and moving bodies around, and you got to be really good at identifying – their blitz package, and I thought our guys, for the most part, did a good job. And, you know, Clay Matthews can absolutely change a game single-handedly. And you could tell he was disruptive yesterday. Obviously, he had a sack. But, you know, for the most part, all the things that they did, our guys communicated and did well picking it up.
All right, back to the quarterback, Coach. And let's start with something, you know, that he did really well. I mean, was his timing in the pocket what you wanted it to be? I mean, you saw a glimpse of it against Oakland. You asked about it during the bye week. Is that improving? Is it where it needs to be? Is it getting?
It's improving. That's the thing. If the scale is going up right now, it's again. There are things. Even I spoke with Blaine this morning about it. There was even some other throws there that could have been big plays for us. And again, he's learning. He's still. I know people are tired of hearing about it, but he's a young quarterback. That each game and each play is a valuable lesson for him to learn for future. And I think you see that he's learning by game, and it's showing up, you know, most recently.
Well, and it was impressive that when there was a bad play, when he got hit, the play after he got hit low by Matthews, when Eugene kind of blocked Matthews towards him.
Low?
And he got him low. Well, should there have been a flag on that? Or was that continuing motion because Eugene had his hands on him two or three steps earlier?
I cannot comment on that. If I make comments about the officials, I can be fined.
If we take it out of the context of yesterday's game, I mean, in terms of steps, I'm just curious how the rule is, but I'll ask you.
You can't hit a quarterback low, period. Okay. That's all. You cannot hit him.
So there should have been a flag there, probably.
I didn't say that.
Okay, I did. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
But you're right.
He made
something happen. Right. The thing I liked about what he did yesterday was the two plays he stepped up in the pocket and made plays stepping up. I mean, literally looked like he was going to take off and run and still hit Cecil on a big play, third down play. Those are things that I saw improvement on that yesterday.
Now, there were a couple of throws, and I'll go to the two-point conversion in particular, where it seemed like he rushed it. Eric Walden, the linebacker, was coming his way, and if he had just waited a half a second longer, he might have gotten it in front of Justin instead of just behind him. I mean, there are still instances, I'm sure, that you saw of him hurrying it.
Yes, yeah, and those were big plays.
Yeah.
I mean, those could have been. We really wanted to go in at halftime tied with these guys, and that's why we went for two.
Right.
And it was there. Play was there. I mean, we wouldn't be talking about going for two if we'd have converted that thing. But Blaine had more time than I think he's had. We converted a two-point play very similar to that earlier in the year against Minnesota.
Right.
And he's got to give it a chance.
There were a couple of drops. I think, did I read that you said 9 drops? I had 5 or 6, so you'd say 9.
Well, after you watch the tape, we consider, plays that we think are catchable balls.
Right.
You know, some look like they may be tough catches, but we trust and believe in our guys that they'll make the play. And we came up with 9 drops. That's hard.
Hard to take.
We've been doing that all year. I mean, we have – we probably have the most drops I can remember for any team I've been involved with after 7 games. And that's just – it's hard to get any kind of true rhythm and, keep you on the field, keep the third downs converting. The play calling's harder when you can't complete some of those balls just because, I think Bob Rutkowski made a comment even Saturday night. Let's just make the layups. I mean, these are layups. We're not asking for three-point play kind of catches. And our guys are trying, and maybe they're trying too hard. But some of those plays, we got a little anxious and we're turning up and didn't keep our eye on the ball. I'm a big believer that you got to watch the ball hit your hands.
One final question before we take our first break, and that is the throw to Cecil down the field that was overturned. And you said the ball moved, and obviously the official did as well. Jeff was effusive in his praise during a broadcast yesterday of that throw. Did you see it as well?
I did.
Being a really good throw.
Really good throw. Really good execution of a play. With the exception of catching it at the end there. And I love Cecil Shorts. I mean, he does everything that you want him to do and more. He wants to do good. And, we got to make that play for our team.
All right, folks, we've got much more time here with the head coach until 7 o'clock Eastern time. You can pick up your Denny's Playmaker card at participating Denny's locations and learn how you can win a Mega Jaguars fan experience at the December 23rd home game. There is no purchase necessary. We're back with more with the head coach after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Well, you can join Blaine Gabbert, captain of the third annual McKenzie's Run, a 5K run and walk and 1 mile fun run on November the 10th at Everbank Field to support the McKenzie Noel Wilson Foundation. Register as a team for only $15 a person at McKenzie'sRun.org. Brian Sexton back with head coach Mike Mularkey. And let's talk a little bit about your defense, coach. That Packers team, prolific, averages 32 points. 31-7 a game under Aaron Rodgers up there. 9 touchdowns the last 2 games before yesterday with no interceptions. I mean, we're talking about an offense as good as you find. And you went in without your 2 starting corners, without a safety, without a linebacker, and you held them to 238 total yards. Gave up some points, 238 yards. How'd you do it?
Well, good plan by Mel. And, we did not know we were going to go in the game without Derek Cox, and Rasheen. Being injured like they were. They were limited in practice, and we had, Middleton stepped in. Mike Harris, a rookie, first start in Green Bay against the Packers offense. Quite a challenge. I was very proud of those guys. One of our messages during the week was don't let anything get over the top of us. Make this offense, which is their MO is to have explosive plays, whether it's, through the air or get it in these guys' hands and let them run with it. And I thought we just kept everything in front of us, and the best thing we did yesterday is that we tackled. We had no missed tackles, and that was, if you remember early on in the season, that was a big issue of how poor we were tackling. None yesterday, and that made a difference. They made some completions, obviously, over the middle. They hit a couple big ones, but for the most part, we made the tackles and made them earn those points. So that, you know, we knew they were going to score. I mean, at some point, that's just that offense is just so explosive. We just wanted to keep it minimal, and they had to earn it.
How did Chris Brzezinski play in his second start? And Mike did a good job then, Mike Harris?
Mike Harris did, yeah. I mean, he tackled well, good in coverage. You know, the game is really, since he's been here, I've said this, I think, before, it's not too big for him. He just kind of very level-headed, just goes about his job. He doesn't say a whole lot, but he does his job, and you don't hear his name very often. That's a good thing, and really proud of him. I mean, that's a tough place to, yes, as a rookie, to get your first start.
How about the pass rush? It's been under incredible scrutiny, you know, because of the lack of sack production. Better in Oakland. How was it yesterday? And there was times, obviously, when Rodgers had all the time in the world, but, you know, sack strip by Andre Branch. Give us your sense of the pass rush.
Better too. I mean, he got hit. He got hit a couple of times and fumbled a couple of times. You know, one we had a penalty, gave it back. That's one of those plays that we just got to quit doing.
Right.
You know, because that's the first series of the second half. We get a sack. We get a fumble. And it's
45 yard line.
It's our ball getting ready. I mean, the momentum we went in. We felt like with it, with the score. I mean, just those are the types of things that just eat at you, because we've had them every game.
Right.
But I thought we did a good job. There's a couple times we got out of our rush lanes and he got out the touchdown. He threw to Randall Cobb, got out, lost contain. We did that. Great play by both those guys. But for the most part, I thought we put some pressure on him with just our down guys.
The rotation, having John Chick, having George Selby. You know, we talked about these guys during the broadcast. It wasn't as if they were just there.
No, they were very effective. George was very effective. John had a hit on the quarterback. John was disruptive. I mean, he is a relentless. It was nice to have him back. He has been eaten at the bit to try to get in, get back into on our roster. And to have him out there was really good, just for him, but our team too.
And how about the young linebacker Julian Stanford now, who has started a couple of games?
He's going to be a real good player. Thing I like about Julian, when he comes downhill, he takes on some of these lead plays, the lead runs where there's a fullback coming at you or a tight end. He will hit you, and I mean, there is no let up. You know, a lot of guys, you'll see those young guys, they deaccelerate when he is actually accelerating through the hole, and he is you can see who's taking the damage when the play's over.
So, is it fair to say that your defense is catching its wind, improving, getting ready for the second half of the season? I mean, are we starting to see a trend here?
Well, we're doing things better. I mean, tackling, for instance, that was just one of our issues in training camp, in the preseason games, early on in the games, open field tackling, stopping the run. We've gotten better over the last couple of weeks. It's helped to have George Selvey and Austin Lane back. Our guys are just doing their job really much better than we were doing them before. And that's all they've been trying to do. But it's just been, we've been executing better.
All right. We've got much more with the head coach. You can join us at Jags Voice, and we've got some questions that we'll offer to the coach when we return. We'll talk about the running game. Look forward to Detroit. Hey, the Jaguars Rewards Program is now better than ever, folks. Season ticket owners get all the great premium benefits like Teal Deals and the Gate Gas Redemption Program, but it's now open to all Jaguars fans. Get great discounts, cash back, and register to win a trip to the Super Bowl. Visit Jaguars.com and click on the Jaguars Rewards logo to start earning your rewards today. More to come after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show, and you can get a great deal on a Ford F-150 during Truck Month at your local Southern Ford dealers. Coach, here's one from Tim. He says, hey, Brian, does Coach think the team's chemistry has helped them play better in hostile territory this year than at home? Do you think that there's some? We've talked a lot about that group and how they've worked and how they've bought into what you were working them towards in
right.
the offseason.
It's a close-knit group. I can tell you, their players are very close. We try to do a lot of things that we – together. I mean, that word together is used a lot around here, and not just by the staff but by the players. Why is it different on the road? I wish I could explain it. It's typically not this kind of, scenario. It's usually right. At home you're playing better. But We're hoping that's the case. I mean, we have realized.
Just about to ask you, that change this week?
Yeah, well, we certainly are not doing anything different here than we did there. You know, we've been five of the games that we've been in, you know, it's been a touchdown score here or there going into the fourth quarter.
Right.
I mean, that's been home and that's been away. It's just for some reason here, we remember the last two games of getting out of hand late. And we got to, you know, obviously we got to finish all games.
Sure.
Home and away. No question about that. But I don't think there's anything that we're closer on the road than we are at home.
Professional football, you've got a lot to work on this week to get ready for Detroit, obviously, but is it in the back of your minds that your team wants to come out and play as well at home as they have on the road, that they didn't play well the last two games at home or the last quarter at home?
I think that's what they think.
Okay.
It's the last quarter that they know that they didn't play well enough.
The Bears thing got away.
I mean, they know what they did for the first three in the Bears game. They
Yeah, it's important not to forget that.
No, it's very important. I mean, again, it got out of hand. How I can't explain it. We all saw the plays that took place, and I don't think they were concerned about, hey, we're going home. I think they're excited to come home. I think they're excited to get back to this city and play well in front of the fans. They appreciate the support from our fans, and I know they're excited to be back here.
Coach, here's one from Rob. He wants to know if we'll see Blaine getting more attempts throughout the rest of the season because he seemed to get in a rhythm yesterday.
Well, it really depends on the flow of the game. Depends on how the defense is playing. The teams are playing a lot of coverages that throwing the ball is better than running it because they have more guys down there than we can block. They're going to do that to try to see if Blaine and our receivers and our backs and tight ends can beat them. I think there was some proof yesterday that's a possibility. We can throw the ball and beat you, even the Packer type teams. So. Again, we're not afraid to throw it. I like that we threw the ball down the field as much as we did. We need to get some more big plays out of it when we do that.
The running game has been such a staple around here for so many years, and the last four games, you haven't cracked the 70-yard mark. So is there an issue there with the running game? Is it just that teams are stacking the box, Coach, or is there something you've got to do better in the running game to get that back, to get the balance that you talk about so often?
All the above.
Okay.
Okay, all the above.
Oh, I love it when I give a perfect question.
No, teams are aware of our mentality, my mentality,
sure.
our coordinator's mentality, our teams. We want to run the football. We're a physical team, physical offense. And, we left some yards yesterday on the field, I felt.
In the running game?
Yes.
It seemed as if, Rashad, early on, I saw you talking to him, and it seemed as if there was one run in particular where he went forward over the left guard for about 4 yards, but if he had just seen the crease to the outside, there was 40.
There was a lot. Again, all we're doing is making them aware of what we're seeing. We have pitchers on the sideline that are showing them, hey, here's where this thing is, the crease is, or where we think it's going to develop into a big play. And, I just felt like, and I think he did too after the fact, that missed a couple cuts yesterday, and maybe that's just from lack of the playing time, but we certainly had some runs we would like to get back.
And Coach, you've got one from John who loves your aggressiveness, didn't mind the going forward on fourth down in Oakland, and didn't mind, in fact, loved the two-point conversion yesterday. That aggressive nature, is that you? Is that something that you will always have here? When you're 6-1 instead of 1-6, will that be your mentality, or are you taking more chances now because you're trying to get a team sparked?
Well, I think I do like the aggressive part of it. I think people know in my history of, as a coordinator even, some of the things that I used to do in Pittsburgh.
Sure, I remember very well.
That some of those two-point plays that we ran in Pittsburgh, the design of them, just a totally exotic, off-the-wall type of plays with Hines Ward and Antoine Randall with reverse handoff, pitch it back and throw it to Plexico for a two-point, doing those in playoff games, that you got to be that kind of a team that's constantly wanting to score points. And yesterday the message was, we want to go in at halftime tied with the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
This team that thinks that they're on cloud nine and they're playing an angry team. And we wanted to go in 14-14. That's what the whole intent was. And I think our players know that's our mindset.
Coach, I don't doubt that there are a lot of listeners right now that just interpreted, boy, we're going to see some of those plays from Mike Mularkey in Jacksonville before it's all said and done.
Again, they're there if you have the personnel to do it.
I'm not suggesting next week, but just over your personality no, over time.
I think those plays are that they keep defenses very off balance, right? Very off balance. These are plays that teams spend time working on and not on your base plays.
But you have to have Hines Ward and Antoine Randle.
You have to have specific players that have that ability to do that. And we certainly have the minds offensively in that room to create.
Make that happen.
And it's fun. And actually, they're not designed to be hopefuls. They are designed to be explosive plays because of the people that are doing them.
All right, folks, this is the Mike Mularkey Show, and our friends at Sonny's get you ready for game day with two great deals. First is game day wings, 40 wings with their new dry rub or sweet or mild sauce for $19.99. And then there's Sonny's tailgate package. It's a feast for 4 to 6. You get a choice of barbecued pork, beef, chicken, or ribs. There's 3 sidekicks, garlic bread or cornbread, and 4 soft drinks or brewed iced tea for just $39.99. It's takeout only. Sonny's is the first name in barbecue, and we are back with more with head coach Mike Mularkey after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Well, you need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck, and it fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today. They are a proud sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Coach, I don't know whether you call it up and down or not, but there are times when your special teams is giving you a big lift. And then yesterday with the blocked punt, you know, it lets you down. That was the turning point in the game. I think everybody would agree. How do you get consistency on special teams?
Well, that was obviously disappointing yesterday. That was a situation we just, you know, we didn't identify the front very well. We just, you know, there's a number count, and you know, I've never made excuses. We've earned exactly where we are right now.
Sure.
But, you know, there's some things we could have done better there. We have, you know, with Montel Owens, I don't know if people realize how big of impact Montel
Huge.
Owens. You talk about these guys missing players. Well, missing Montel Owens is big for our team, for our special teams. And, you know, we had some guys in there that had not been in there before until yesterday. And I give the Packers credit. They knew we had some new pieces in there, and they attacked it and got a free runner. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and it made a big difference. But those are the things that we unfortunately have to feel that pain and feel the loss. You know, it wasn't just that one play. There's other opportunities we had to win
sure.
that game, but it certainly had a big impact.
Well, there are moments when it looks like your special teams unit is going to be a – I mean, I believe it when you say it, that that's going to be something with great priority and that's going to be a consistent part of it. And there's moments when they are.
Oh, these guys know how I feel about it. They are pretty
– Sure.
I can promise you they know how I feel about our special teams. I take a lot of pride in that. I am in every one of those meetings. I am vocal in the meetings. It is important for our team. It wins games and it loses games every week in the National Football League. And, you know, the one thing we want to do is you know, we want to block punt. We want to do some things, but we just want to be solid in special teams. We don't want to give up big plays. We don't want blocks. I mean, obviously we don't. But
right.
Those are the things, if we can just not do those, whether we get a big return or whether we get a blocked punt or whether we set up a score, we just can't let them do any of those to us.
Well, if you take away that particular play yesterday and take away – the one against Cincinnati for a moment, you know, those two big plays in special teams, how have they performed overall to your satisfaction this season?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like us to be, you know, our rankings a little higher, but, you okay. know, you got to have some big returns, and, you know, we have faced some serious returners with Devin Hester and Randall Cobb yesterday. I mean, it just seems like every week we're like, we got to stop this guy, and our coverage teams are getting better.
Scobie kicked the ball well yesterday on those kickoffs.
For the
other
most,
than that one that at the end.
Right. I mean, that was a big play.
Yeah.
And I said it in the team meeting this morning. I mean, he did not purposely kick the ball out of bounds. I mean, nobody's trying to make mental errors and physical errors on their own. But just to kind of give you an example of how each phase of our unit or our team works together, you know, we scored to get down one score. Momentum was on our side. And – you know, our defense was playing extremely well. We needed a three and out. We were probably going to have one possession left to go score. And when we kicked the ball out of bounds, now the ball goes to the 40. We did get the three and out.
Right.
Unfortunately, it was on the 40-yard line, not on the 20. And then if you think about it, we go all the way back. Now the punt comes. We catch the ball inside the 10, which we don't want to do.
Right.
So now we're sitting on the 8-yard line, and it all started. I mean, we're trying to each phase has got to help the other phase, and that was a trickle down effect that got us all the way back to the 8-yard line to have to drive the length of the field to win a game in Green Bay.
All right, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Let's go ahead and take our break here. When we come back, we'll start looking forward to the Detroit Lions, who roll in here on Sunday. And fans, nobody helps you get ready for that game better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. More to come right after this on Jaguars Radio. Well, you could be driving a brand new Kia Optima by registering to win Conn's Kia. Stop by Southside Kia or Kia of Orange Park for your chance to win. Brian Sexton back with head coach Mike Mularkey. You can join us at Jags Voice, and we will get your tweets to the coach on the air. All right, Coach, we talk about the Detroit Lions, and obviously people think of the passing game. Matt Stafford, who people know from Georgia, and Calvin Johnson, who people know from Georgia Tech.
Right.
I mean, it's been a potent combination over the last two seasons.
They're dangerous. Megatron. I mean, he's a – I don't know if you've ever even been close to him, but he is a sight to be seen. I mean, he is as big as he looks like on TV, maybe bigger. We coached him in the Pro Bowl a couple of years ago. Fast, throw the ball anywhere around him, big physical, you know, go get the ball type of guy, and Stafford just trusts the heck out of him.
How do you defend a guy like that? You've got to have a safety over the top.
Yeah,
the
you got to put a couple guys on him, which, you know, obviously you can't do that every play. And then when you do have a matchup with him, you got to play your best ball, and you got to have some help, and that's the pass rush. I mean, there's your teammates got to help you if you're out there on an island by yourself.
You know, I imagine that when you've got so much attention focused on that big guy, that it opens it up for the others.
It does. It really does. That's what's, you know, some of these teams, including the Green Bay Packers, they have so many different weapons, including the tight end. You know, JerMichael Finley, a threat yesterday. This week, Pettigrew coming up. He's been a big target for Matthew Stafford. But it does. When you've got one game-wrecking type of wide receiver, your other guys will have – their production definitely goes up.
Well, here's the numbers. It appeared that Seattle, who plays pretty good on defense, took Calvin Johnson away. He only had 3 catches for 46 yards. But Titus Young had 9 catches for 100 yards and scored 2 touchdowns. And Pettigrew, who you just mentioned, 7 catches for 74 yards. So, absolutely, they just – and then Tony Scheffler, the tight end.
Yeah.
4 for 46, and he's a speed guy. We saw him in Denver a couple of years ago. So – they just moved it all around and went other places.
And they've got the people to do that. Titus Young is a guy that's got very fast receiver and has had a lot of production. So, you know, you just can't take away all the weapons. No. It's just impossible.
The quarterback, Stafford, yesterday, 34-49, 352, 3 touchdowns and an interception, passer rating about 84. He has either been, I mean, absolutely unstoppable, unbelievable, or a little bit scatter-armed in his time. When you look at a guy like that, and he's a young guy still, he's coming into his own.
Yeah.
Is he kind of a why can't I think of his name? Jay Cutler kind of quarterback?
No. I wouldn't put him in that category. I mean, the unfortunate part is he was hurt early on in his career those first couple years with the shoulder, and there's no question this is one of the tougher guys in the league because he too plays with some injuries. But no, you have to play this guy like he is, you know, got the ability to throw it all over the field, which he does. You can't go in there going, this is going to be one of those games he's going to be hot and cold. This guy has the ability to light up the scoreboard if we allow him to. And he does a good job of spreading the ball to his targets. But if he sees somewhere that he knows there's a mismatch, he's going to take advantage of it.
Now, this is a team, at least numbers-wise, that looks an awful lot like the Packers when it comes to the running game. I mean, they don't have that Maurice Jones-Drew or Chris Johnson or, you know, big running back that can burn you from all over the field. How do they run the ball, Coach? Do they try, or is this a pass-first team only?
No, they do. You know, if they can get you into these – just to stop all the receiving threats, you've got to get into coverages that basically makes you a little vulnerable to the run. And they'll get in their sets with the gun formation with the back in the backfield. They're more of a gun team, hand the ball to the back after a shotgun snap. I know Scott Linehan very well, their offense coordinator, and he does a good job of mixing up. You know, you have to be aware of the runs, and when you're in these coverages to try to take away the Megatron and the Titus Youngs and the Schefflers, and the thing is they've got hats on hats. They've got bodies on bodies. We won't have an extra guy in there that can help. So we got to do a great job getting off blocks when they do run the football.
You almost got to stop the run with 6, don't you?
You really have to stop the run with those inside, you know, with our front basically 6 or 7 if we can get into that. But definitely have to do that.
All right, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. At Jags Voice, also via Twitter, is the best way to make contact with us. Let's take our break. We'll come back. More to come as we look forward to the Jaguars and Lions game Sunday, a 1 o'clock kickoff here at Everbank Field. And you're listening to the Jaguars Radio Network.
We all have.
All right, welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show. Jaguars and Lions Sunday. We were just looking at the weather, and they're saying 72 degrees, sunny and comfortable. It looks like it's going to be a great weekend for football, a great weekend to be back home. We kick things off with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show at 10 a.m. here in Jacksonville. Those of you listening to the flagship, noon, we pick up the network with Jaguars pregame. Kickoff at 1, of course, the Aetna Halftime Show, the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, and the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Boy, Coach, it looks like you're going to have a great week of weather. They're certainly not saying that up in the Northeast right now, and our thoughts and prayers are with everybody up there.
That's right. The pitchers are not very pretty.
Not very good.
No, not where it's going in there.
But looks like highs in the mid-70s for your team to get back on the practice field this week. And you said you had a good week of practice last week.
Really had a good week, and I know that's a credit to the players that come out there and get prepared. And that's very important. We've been talking about preparation and how it carries over and how it hasn't some weeks. We've really prepared well, and it hasn't always gone over to the game field like it did this last week. So,
can you predict a good week of practice?
I guess I can.
Yeah?
Yeah. I could have told you that after the game in that locker room with the way the guys you know, it's hard to get in front of a team, especially after a loss and especially after the number we've had. And but the focus, I can see it in their eyes. I can just see, you know, when we come together to break down. You know, we got a special group that are going to fight and claw their way out of this situation and turn this into a good thing when this is all said and done.
I think we've seen evidence of that, signs of that the last 2 weeks, and hopefully this week against Detroit. Let's talk about the Lions defense, Coach. The front four, I think, you've said to me off the air, is about as good as you'll find in football.
That's right. They are very disruptive. They play a lot of coverages, relying on those guys to put the pressure on the quarterback. And you know, if you can do that, that's a lot of trust. But that's you know, they've been doing it for a couple of years here. They got, you know, starting with Sue inside. He's a one man wrecking crew, and he'll be a challenge for our guys.
Mike Brewster, I think you said at your news conference today, you're going to go with him, starting left guard. That means Sue's right in front of him, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And
it's a formidable challenge.
It sure is for an undrafted rookie free agent. Mike has stepped in. You know, he has a lot of starts under his belt. It's not like...
Oh, yeah. Four-year starter at Ohio State of all places.
Four-year starter. He's answered the bell when we put him in there. And there's things, obviously, just like a lot of guys on our team. We've got a lot of young guys playing right now, and he's got some things he's got to get better at, but I've been really pleased with the way he's gone about his approach. And the thing I love about the guy is we talk about finishing plays and setting an attitude as an offense, and especially as a player. He is always in somebody's – he's always get that little shove at the end. He's just a violent player, and I love the way he finishes.
Obviously, you know, he's going to get a little help on Sunday, wouldn't you think?
He's going to need it.
Yeah, with Sue, I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
Mobile guards need help with Ndamukong.
Yeah, he's
Sue.
An amazing athlete for the size that he is.
Massive.
For what he can do, it's incredible. And you talk about it. I'm just talking about Brewster being physical and violent and all those things. It'll be a good matchup with our O-line. And they got a couple ends, bookends.
I was about to say, it's not Sue alone. Cliff Averill's a guy from here, from Clay High School over in Clay County. And obviously Kyle Vandenbosch is a guy we've seen over the years with Tennessee.
Still playing at a high level. Two guys with great motors, great hands. They're bookend nine techniques. Basically, they get wide, and all they do is they're called crash ends, crash nines. They come crashing off the edge, trying to condense the offense. And if you're not, you know, basically stout and having great hands and pass protection in anything you're doing, they can crash in the whole side of your offense.
Do they blitz? Or is this a team
that relies
on the front?
No, they do. They do a good job of mixing the blitz, especially when you get into third down situations. But, you know, they don't do a lot that gets you real confused. They just do what they do very well.
You know, it would seem, after the last couple of weeks, that we've seen Blaine Gabbert, whose numbers, by the way, against the blitz are pretty good. You know, he's done well against the blitz. It would seem like maybe he's starting to settle down. This would be a great test for him, won't it?
It will be a great test for him. It'll be a great test for our line, our tight ends. I thought, you know, even Mercedes yesterday against Matthews did a great job. And we put him out there a couple times by himself, and that's not an easy task. So we'll need Mercedes and protection to help out, and our backs will have to step up when that blitz does come.
800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Final break, folks, and we'll come back and wrap it up. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. There are 6 locations in Jacksonville. Stein Mart offers you more fashion at a lower price. Back to wrap up the Mike Mularkey Show after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, a couple of minutes left with the head coach here on the Mike Mularkey Show. And Coach, I think, and no one likes to look at the record and see, you know, 6 losses. But I think when you look at the last 2 weeks in particular, coming off the loss to the Bears, the bye week, the last 2 weeks, you could just start checking off boxes of what you're seeing. I mean, there's signs all over the field that this thing is starting to get some traction. Do you see it that way?
We do. We definitely do. We see it that we've let 2 games get away from us that we had chances to win. But at least we had chances to win them. I mean, we were right in them. And I'm talking about these 2 games on the road in really 2 different environments, unique environments.
Sure. Old environments.
Old environments.
Green Bay go way back.
I mean, Green Bay is a tremendous place to play.
Ancient, yes.
With the fan base and just the you know, the history of the place. But I do. I see – what I see is progress, and that's important that we see that steady, but for sure upward climb progress by each player. And I told the players that it's important that we see it from each one of them, and because we're looking for it. I mean, especially this is when you start finding out about guys, and then we'd like to see it each phase. You know, and I think our defense has taken a nice upward climb, and I think our offense took a step yesterday.
Sure do.
That's got to be something that's can't have a step back anywhere in any phase and think we're going to have a chance to win if we don't stay going in the right direction.
So as you look over the last 9 games, forget not yet, just this week, based on the progress you've seen against Oakland and Green Bay, what are 2 or 3 things that have to happen for you to close the deal and get the win against the Lions?
Those plays that we just well, first of all, if we catch the ball better, I mean, I think we'll keep the ball more, keep the ball out of the Lions' hands. So they don't have it; they can't score. That'd be one thing.
Be an important thing.
And it'd be an important thing. The plays that we just can't seem to make, like we get that fumble and we get a penalty on John Chick. You know, again, they called it, so it's a penalty.
Right. I mean,
that's the way you got to look at it. They called it. But those things, we take a huge play, a huge momentum builder that you can just feel it on the sideline, and then it gets taken right back away from you. It's just as catastrophic to you. It sucks the life out of you just as fast as it gave you life.
Right.
Those things have been happening, and we gotta, you know, make them go away.
Right.
The Will Middleton's pass interference down there. On a 3rd down again, that if we're off the field, we get the ball back, we have a chance to go down there and tie the score.
We have 1 minute left, so I'm going to pin you to a tight answer on this one. Red zone, what is it, just execution in the red zone? Is that what you have to improve on, or is there anything that it's glaring that will change that, because that would change the game too?
No, there's no question. We have got to be better in the red zone, absolutely. We have failed to execute the way we are capable of executing.
Right.
And there's no better way to explain it. It's either something here or something there that we can be better at.
Coach, thanks so much for your time. Best
okay.
of luck getting
thanks,
ready for
Brian.
The Lions this week.
Okay.
That's head coach Mike Mularkey. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you on Sunday.